Harvey Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Yes, and this is Margaret Crane.
I'm General Kalen Shaw. Yeah, my name is Robert Leonard.
And I, again, am Bud Dickman.
Don't say again, you blew it.
We almost got through it, you know?
I mean,
no one knew who you...
There's the dropout again, too.
You did good, Bud.
And I'm Bud Dickman.
No, he did not do good, Phil. No. We practiced that, we rehearsed that, and the audience might as well be let in on this.
Well, part of the problem is we're always letting Buddy in on a problem.
Part of the problem is I'm always letting Buddy in on...
He said you're letting everybody in. The deal of it was...
I know, you guys rehearsed it.
Well, hold on. We rehearsed it all the way through, and then Bud would say, and I am, of course, Bud Dickman, not end again.
I know, I forgot.
Well, why didn't you write it down?
I did write it down.
Then why did you say the other thing?
Because I memorized it.
Well, obviously you didn't memorize it right, did you?
Oh, I guess not. I thought I had.
All right, so...
Can we do it again?
No, Margaret.
Oh, come on, Phil. Let us do it again one more time.
All right, here we go. Let's do this thing again.
You know what? I don't care. Turn it off. So...
All right, Phil, I hear you. Wait. Hold on for a minute.
No, what about that watch, Miss Emery?
Hold... Wait a second. You just said you wanted to do it again, and then, you're bored with it.
Phil, I lost... The momentum was gone from it. You know, there's no point.
Well, there's no point in... trying to, drag this thing out onto the pavement and try to beat some life into it. Forget it.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
We'll talk about a movement watch.
What about my... Look, we have a commercial already planned. We already did the commercial. Didn't you hear it?
Yeah, I heard it. I don't believe that.
You don't believe what?
Well, I have a question, too. You're telling me one of the young staffers at the improv said, how much for the watch? It sounds too cute. It sounds too convenient.
I'm telling you... For the second time in a row, when was the first guy that asked me was my guy over at the mailbox where I picked my mail up, and then at the club on Friday night, yeah.
So she said what? She's like, well, how old would you say she was?
She's in her 20s. I mean, but like I said, she's a woman who goes out and buys stuff. But yeah, I got asked, how much was that watch? So, like, I don't want to do another commercial here. I'm just telling you that it happened.
Where can I get a watch like that?
Are you listening to the show?
I'm only kidding.
Come on, we have knock it off.
Hey.
Where can I get a watch like that?
Movementwatch.com.
Yes. All right. So welcome to the program, folks, here on this Monday. And we're live streaming the show as we are doing it right now. If you were hearing this on Monday, which I imagine most of you will be hearing it on Monday, it was recorded last night and it was live and streaming for our backstage pass members who are watching me right now, and they also watched me during the pre-show.
You know, I wanted to ask you something about doing that. You've said some things that I think needs to be aired out here.
Now, Margaret, watch it.
Wait, don't tell me to watch it.
Yeah, it's pretty private stuff.
But wait, what is it?
Well, you're talking, you mentioned on the pre-show that, you know, a lot of stuff comes out here during our pre-show because it is the show prep hour that may offend some of you. And you brought up the case of the friend's assistant.
Yeah, now what was that about?
Oh, the friend. You heard about that, Margaret, didn't you?
I heard bits and pieces of it. And I'm almost not wanting to believe it. Now, dude, say it again and be very careful how you say this, Phil.
But you got to do about it.
What am I going to
do? I
watch it. Come on.
Captain, don't challenge me.
Come on, will you? So what's the question?
Yeah, you see what you did?
I didn't do anything. You're challenging Mr. Henry.
I'm not challenging you. I'm simply asking. I did say be very careful, didn't I?
Yeah, that sounds like... Let me tell you what happened. And I'm going to lay it on you the way it happened, Margaret. I'm not going to... What do you mean, be very careful?
I'm just saying in terms of the language used.
All right. Friends was sued. Was it Friends? It was one of the writer's rooms that the show got sued by a staffer who said there was too much vulgarity. There was too many sexual conversations going on. Too much conversation about... offensive things. The show countered and said, but that's what we do when we write. We have to have sort of an unedited and unfettered and free way of talking about things.
What's unfettered mean?
Are you kidding?
No.
It means... I'll do it, Margaret.
It means...
I'll do it. It means unedited.
It means unedited.
Margaret, you just want to... It means unedited.
I did not.
No, I did not. You want unedited...
So you're starting to make me sound as if I'm gagging on something? Is that where this is going?
No, forget we even brought it up.
Thank you. So now I forgot.
Talking about unfettered.
Right. So the show countered by saying it has to be unedited and it has to be unfettered. Otherwise, we don't get good ideas. And the court held for them. The court said that is right. This is a unique environment. It's a working environment among individuals who write a television show. And the way they write this show among themselves is by talking about experiences, talking about things in the open. And, you know, any employee should be forewarned that that kind of thing is going to happen.
All right. So, and you approve of that?
Yes, of course I do. Of course, how else are you supposed to, you know, actually do show prep? Unless that stuff is you know.
Yeah, but then again, Mr. Emery, you're out there doing it on a live feed.
I'm doing it on the live feed, and I'm telling everybody who watches the pre-show, if you are offended by things, I'm always saying that.
Well, you're always saying it, but, you know, you're still kind of sticking it in and breaking it off.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I've heard from people, they say, well, we know that Phil is...
Wait, what do you mean stick it in and break it off?
We've heard people say, we understand that Phil is prepping and we understand all of that, but it seems as if he's going, yeah, this is show prep, so I can say anything. And you give a wink, do you?
No, I do not.
You don't wink?
No, I do not.
Well, that's what one guy said.
What one guy said, no, I don't wink.
Well, they said it sounds like you, for fun and for laughs, you stick it in and bust it off. That's all I'm saying.
How would you do it?
How would I do what?
How would you do a show prep?
I don't know, Phil. I'm a singer, for God's sake. I don't sit around and,
Well, you sing, you know, when you swarm up, you sing vulgarities.
Do I sing vulgarities? You're the biggest ass...
Hey, come on. That's a question.
Come at me with a question like that?
Well, how do you warm up?
When I do what?
When you sing.
No, Margaret, when you're delivering milk in the morning. Yes, when you sing.
All right. I warm up like this.
You know, like, ha, 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 ho, whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
No, Robert, what are you asking?
Does she do scales?
I'm here, Robert. You can ask me, not does she do scales.
Do you do scales?
This is what I do. Goo, 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 goo. Oh, ho, 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 ho. See, that's how I get those very pure high notes. Then I will... What do you... If he grimaces, so help me Christ.
Hey, God, I didn't do anything except, yeah, it did sound kind of weird.
Bud, just don't stare at it. Why are you looking at him?
I want to make sure he doesn't get a... Don't let him get off...
Don't worry about it, Bud.
Me... Hey! There.
Now, what is that whole he thing at the end? What's that all about?
I mean, what's that all about? That is a singing technique.
Come on, Margaret. Every time I hear you sing, you do the whole he.
It's kind of like your own style, right?
What are you talking about?
You always do that in your songs.
It is part of... No, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
But it is part of the way I warm up. So, for instance, let's say I'm going to sing a song like, the mountain's high and the valley so deep. Yeah. Do 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 to the other side.
Well,
hold on. Well, now I forgot.
I was just going to ask you about that song.
That's the mountains high and the valleys so deep. What about it?
I wanted to ask you. That's a two-person song. What are you doing singing it?
It's a two-person song. What am I doing? Oh, baby.
Just two... Two people can sing. One guy can sing it.
You know something? All of you cats should have been interviewed by George Stephan about whatever that guy's name is this weekend, because he was asking people about... He was interviewing people about what they mean when they say things, you know? And, I don't know.
I mean, we don't sound like a minute.
So we sound like we don't mean what we say?
No, you guys do sound like you mean what you say, and I don't know what it is you're trying to say. Thank you. All right, let's go over. And by the way, today returns Harvey Wireman with Newsbreak.
That's right.
Right after our traffic, let's go over to Bob Bakey and then the traffic and find out the highways and byways, how things are looking here today. Bob, what's it look like?
Actually, right now, we got a problem on the 5-9 freeway. We got down the campaign manager there for Jack Lavin. is down there stuck right now with the CHP. I don't think they'll have that cleared up over there hours. Out of the route, up there, that fast lane, and take the out of the route out around with them. Probably I said, that's it. Get out of the route there at Safran. Over here on the 5-3 on the pound ball, it's 405. Going to be on the inside. Sat, 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 Sack. Look at that with Cotton, Abercrombie and Fitch, Poplar, and a Poplar right up the butt. Awesome. Let's go on to Skyboy.
Hey, Bob, it's not sure it's the same thing you're talking about. You know what you're talking about, Bob?
Yeah, I was waiting.
And hi, and I got there and said, Bobby, and you were saying, and he said, well, we're doing, I said, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo. Yeah, I don't care what Bob is.
Bob,
that's not a boy, Sky Baby Sweet Cat.
Ungawa. Boy, Sky Baby Sweet Hand. And this is Harvey Wireman with Newsbreak, returning from a long absence to the Phil Henry Show. The Army said Sunday that it will not, I repeat, will not approve an assessment necessary to permit the controversial Takapa access pipeline to cross under Lake Araway in North Dakota, marking a monumental victory for the Native American tribes and thousands of others who flocked in recent months to protest the Iowa pipeline. I'm happy as heck, said Everett Irana Ayayiz, a retired director of natural resources for the Standing Rock Siowix Tribe and one of the organizers of the camp protester. The local Siowix Tribe was protesting the pipeline when the U.S. Army stepped in and said no can do. President-elect Donald Trump on Sunday issued a dramatic warning to companies that they would facke retribution in the form of tariff if they move American jobs overseas, setting up a collision with corporate America and the free market wing of the Republican Party. I'm Harvey Wireman, and this has been Newsy Break.
Buster Keaton Cereals. We're using the name of a famous person who's no longer here, hoping against hope that we don't get sued. We need that famous name to push Buster Keaton Cereals so that we sell them. Are they any good? I'm not about to say. They could be. Maybe they're not. Why don't you buy one and take it home? We want you to buy one to take it home, and that's why we call them Buster Keaton Cereals. Buster Keaton Cereals may taste like doo-doo. Buster Keaton Cereals. Go on, take a shot. Also, try our handy Marilyn Monroe coffee and Clark Gable yogurt. I am Terry Sampson. Terry Sampson. Chevrolet. I'll tell you, we got these beauties that are coming in right now, the 2016s. 2016's going out, 2017 coming in. And Terry Sampson. Chevrolet, is that my name? You know, my name's not so important. Who cares what my name is? All I want you to know is we have Chevys. Chevrolets are going to be here today, tomorrow, forever. Okay, forget my name. It's not important. I don't care. Call me anything, but just make sure you're in my dealership. And I guess you do need to know the name, don't you?
Yeah, now that you mention it.
All right, my name is Terry Sampson. And I'll tell you, my Chevy dealership is as good as any other motherfucker. Terry Sampson Chevrolet in Cleaverville.
Think that you won.
Oh yeah.
Feel the Raiders on my fucking cock.
What the hell is this? Is this that goddamn old sleeper?
You know, you don't like the language, General, but you're real free with it, aren't you?
I didn't say anything about anyone sucking my...
God, you hear a guy saying that?
This is the artistic way of today.
Now, Margaret, a minute ago you're talking about be careful what you say in the room and...
All right, Phil, don't give me the lecture.
No, that's what you were doing. You're saying, oh, we got to be really careful about the stuff that you say because... And now you're saying, oh, this is artistic.
How about that?
How dare you mock my voice?
Well, it's what it sounded like to me. Thank you, Harvey Wireman, wherever he is.
Yeah, he's back home in San Marino.
You got how long are you going to keep... no offense, Harvey, but how long are you going to do that? What do you mean?
How long are you serious?
He still carves it up, Phil.
I know that, but I've been told by David and others that it pulls the audience. So what do you want from me?
We're going to sit through 5 minutes of him going, you know, talking about, what the hell is that, Siowix?
Yeah, he called a Sioux Indian the Siowix Tribe.
As long as the guy is, you know, as long as they're paying the freight.
So it is sponsored.
Yeah, it's sponsored by that Buster Keaton cereal.
Oh, my God.
All right. Anyway, welcome back to the program, folks. The world-famous Phil Henry Show here for this Monday, and we're just getting our act together, so forgive me. During the pre-show, and you guys have heard me talking about this, I was talking about falling in love with soccer. I watch a lot of soccer. Vernon Dozier is a head football coach there at Belmar Academy.
Now, he's got a problem with you, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's had a problem with me for the past few weeks. And I was again talking about it today on the pre-show, and we got Vernon on the... Did he just call up?
Well, he was scheduled to do it. He was scheduled to do it.
He was scheduled to do what, bud?
He's got to talk about the high school football results.
Oh, okay. All right, so, well, we can get that in as well, but let's go to Vernon Dozier now on the Phil Henry Show here on our Newsmaker line, talk with him. And we do want to talk about football, high school football, as Belmar Academy is doing, and I know you guys did not make the playoffs this year, and that's the first time. And like last year, you didn't win the league, right?
Well, there's a lot of questions.
Last year, you didn't win the league.
Last year, we did not win our league. No, and that was the first time in like 7 years we hadn't won the league. This year, we didn't make the playoffs. That's the first time in 10 years we hadn't made the playoffs. So,
what's going on, Coach?
Well, first of all, I'm a little touchy. When you say what's going on, Coach, it almost sounds like you're blaming me.
Well, no, I'm not blaming you. Have you identified the problem?
Yeah, I've identified the problem. The problem is we have a lot of guys coming up in the football ranks, a lot of young men coming into the program who are, I know Phil didn't want me to say this.
Well, you're always referring to the masculinity and how tough these guys are.
That is exactly right, Ms. Gray. I am.
All right, so you're saying what?
I'm saying we got a lot of guys coming into the program who need to have their mommy. If you want me to be blatant about it.
Sir, I was talking about that.
I know I'm always talking about it, and I will forevermore be talking about it. Because I cannot take and I will not abide these guys that are coming in here. And I say, okay, excuse me, can I make a suggestion? Would you mind doing some push-ups? And they're all, I don't know, let me call my mommy.
Well, you really, you know, talking to you over the years, Coach, this seems to be the number one problem.
It is the number one problem. It is the number one problem, and I trace it all the way back to the days of George Bush. Now, I'm not I got no problem with President Bush. But you know I said that when Bush got into office, the only thing he wanted to do was to make sure his daddy.
Now, Vernon.
Just frustrated at all.
What is going on? So the team is not doing well. You've got a lot of substandard guys.
Well, we have a lot of substandard kids coming to the program. Now, I'm saying this, and I'm not pointing any fingers at any individual, because I know I've got a lot of parents out there listening right now. But I will say this. If there are any Belmar Academy parents listening right now, you're sending me young men who are soft. I've had more grave detail. You know how we have these kids dig a grave?
Now, this is where you have them digging a grave by the headlights of a car.
Yeah. And I have them dig this grave when they screw up, they make a mistake, or they just are out there and they look like they, you know, they can't take it and all they need is their mama, you know, to come and bail them out. That's when I send them on over there to Potter's Field.
Potter's Field, that's what you call it.
Yeah, it's named after Mr. Potter, and it's a great life, whatever the hell the name of that thing is.
It's a wonderful life.
What is it called?
It's a wonderful life.
It's a wonderful life.
Yeah, well, maybe for some people.
Talking to Vernon Dozier, who is the head football coach at Belmar Academy. I had no idea. I know we wanted to talk about me and my world football obsession, and you wanted to talk about that.
Oh, I believe me, I want to talk about that.
All right, but I had no idea you had such a tough time there at school.
Well, it's coming in waves, Phil. I'm thinking maybe this is just this generation. Well, we used to have some tough kids come in here, and now all these guys coming in, and they tell me, my mommy, and I'm like...
Are you kidding? Are they using the word mommy?
They are, yes, and that's what I'm hearing. They may not be using that specific word, but the way they're saying it, they may be saying, my mother wants me like that. But really, what's coming through the fog and the mist into my ear and eventually into my head and my brain is, my mommy, you know, and I wave the kid away. I don't say anything. I just wave them off until I can get my bearings.
Talking to Vernon Dozier. On the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Anybody got a question? I want to get into...
No, I'll just talk one thing. I want to ask you about when they want their mommy or their daddy, what do you say to them?
Yeah, what do you say? You just cut them from the team?
I send them over to Potter Field.
Oh, so they're digging graves?
Yes, they're digging graves. Anybody that comes up to me and says, hey, Coach, I want my mom, anything...
Do they?
What are you laughing at? Honest to Christ, Phil, I am...
Well, please watch the language, Coach. You're my guest.
Yes, Coach Dozier.
All right, fine.
What's going on, man?
I'm telling you, and you're...
The reason why I'm laughing is your impression of the kid.
Well, it's happening that way, Phil.
Well, that's why I was going to ask you. Are you exaggerating?
No, I'm not exaggerating. I am hearing when the kid walks up to me and he says, hey, Coach, my mother, he may be saying that, but what I'm hearing, and in essence what that kid is doing, he may not know it, but he's doing this. He's coming up and going, I want my mommy. That's exactly what I hear and what I see. I see the kid's face scrunched up, tears pouring out of his eyes, and I'm hearing over and over, almost like in an echo chamber, mommy, 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 mommy.
You know what? I think you're working too hard.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Now, I agree with the general. You may be working a little too hard.
Now, here we go. This is another. You're about the 900th guy this week that says that I need to rest and relax or my mind may come apart. Is that what you're saying?
Well, Coach, when you're saying you're hearing an echo chamber.
Yeah, if you're hearing something that isn't being said.
It is being said, Phil. It is being said in the name of everything holy. When a kid comes up to me and goes, my mommy, and I'm hearing the echoing through my mind, you know. Have you ever heard that song, echoing through the chambers of my mind? I forget the name of the song.
Summer Breeze?
That's it, yeah, right there. Summer Breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the hole in my mind, or however it goes. Well, what I hear is, young punk wants his mommy. It echoes through the emptiness of my mind. You see?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Look, Coach, I'm going to come right out and say it. You sound like you're cracking up.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you know what, Coach?
Oh, my God.
Coach Dozier, we're concerned with you and for you.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, what do you want us to say, Coach?
You think I'm cracking up?
I think you're cracking up, yeah. When you tell me you're hearing echoing through the emptiness of your head...
All I'm hearing... What do you think I'm saying?
This is what you said. You said, but the kid walks up to you and goes, I want my mommy, 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 like it's echoing.
What the fuck did they... What are you...
Hey, let me tell you something, my friend. I can go through the phone, I can get in my truck, and you can wait on me. We could meet at a vacant lot.
Oh, really? We're going to have a fist fight in a vacant lot? You're going to wait for an adult to come along and break it up? Is that it?
You know, I don't even want to talk to this guy. You know, I love you, Coach, but you're...
General... You're getting soft. You're one of the reasons why we have a problem.
How you figuring that?
Because we've got a military that's been allowed to just go to seed under this the guy Obama. Now we got a president coming in who's going to make things right.
I don't get political. If you do, I'm going to lose it, all right? Just understand that.
Nobody's losing anything.
Oh, come on, Margaret.
No, I will. Don't get political.
All right, but all I'm saying is...
Let's just stick to the kids on the team. All right, let's just say that you're having a problem there with the kids, and for whatever reason, they are soft, and they need their mommy, and other than have them dig their own grave to toughen them up, do you talk to the parents at all?
Oh, yeah, I talk to the parents when they'll stay on the phone. I've called them all. Hi, this is Coach Dozier. Your son today walked up to me and said, I want to have my mommy, and he started to blubber, and I hear click, and I go, that's fine, you know, can you turn that down? You know, my wife, who is a beautiful, beautiful young lady, and I've been married to her, as you know, Phil, for the last 15 years, she doesn't like the fact that I'm distracted from American football now because of you and all this European football you watch. And I threw a candy dish at her the other day, and I'll tell you, she came out of the kitchen with a serving tray and swung on me and almost hit me. I had to dive for my shoes in the door. I got my shoes. Thank God I got my shoes. Thank God I got my shoes, because it was raining that night. I got to the door, and I got the hell out of the house.
Yeah, and so what has this got to do with me?
It has to do with you, because you have... Oh, boy.
Phil, you have been talking an awful lot about what you call world football.
Yeah, what is world football, if you don't mind me asking?
Soccer.
All right. Do you got a problem with calling it soccer?
Yeah, I do. I'd rather call it as close as possible what real fans call it. They call it football. We'll call it world football so we don't confuse it with American football or Canadian football.
All right, so it's world. That's what soccer is, world football?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm sitting, fidgeting, looking at it. I was watching the Giants and the Steelers today, and my wife comes in and says, what the hell? What are you fidgeting at? And because I'm thinking I'm going to be on the air with you, and I'm thinking about all the stuff you do that, God, you bother me.
And you picked up a candy dish and threw it at her.
I threw it at my wife. She came out of the kitchen with a serving tray, and if she'd hit me with that thing, it would have taken part of my skull out. There's no question in my mind of that. I've thought about it, and yep, it would have. It would have, literally, I'd have a plate in my head today. Well, not today. I'd be in a coma right now.
Well, good for her, then.
What does that mean?
Well, what does that mean, Margaret?
You attacked her with you threw a dish at her?
I threw a candy dish at her. Big deal. I'm talking to your fans in here, Mandy.
You know, this kind of stuff, there's a very high incidence of this of the people we know on the show. There's a lot of domestic violence. The Dooleys have a problem, you know, and I don't like to hear about it. And we've often threatened to call the police.
You don't have to call the police. If you're going to call the police, God damn it, are you going to call the police?
No, we're not. We're just saying, back it down over there.
She's the one that swung.
And the fact that you're acting like a child right now, I think it rubs off on your players.
No, it doesn't rub off on my players. What I'm saying is, when it rubs off on my players, the players are rubbing off on me. That's what's going on here.
Yeah, that's what sounds like. Me too. Sounds like the players go, I'm really learning. And then you do it too.
Oh, man.
Well, isn't that what you just said?
Yeah, it is what I said. And now I regret having said it. But the players come to me and say, my body, please, please. And at the end of the day, that's what I'm doing. I'm talking to my wife and I'm going, please, honey. And I got to tell you, Mandy, I got to tell him the story. The other day, shit.
Well, now, if you don't want
to... No, I have to. I told my wife that it's got to get said. The other day, I found myself on my knees in front of my wife, begging her in that tone of voice for...
Yeah, sex?
Oral sex, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Miss Gray, thanks very much for having sensitivity and understanding.
You're sitting there going, oh, please give me a blowjob.
Ow! How dare you? All right, hey.
That's pretty much what it was, Mandy, wasn't that it? She's going to do the... How did I sound?
Oh, please, I want to have it sucked. Please suck my dick.
I didn't say that, did I? So,
Do that again.
Ms. Gray, so you want to rub it in?
No, we just...
Do it again. Have her do it again.
Do it again, will you, Mandy, honey?
Please suck my dick.
Well, you know...
Man, I wish to Christ off the cross I could hang the phone up.
Watch the language, and no, you can't.
I get that, okay? What language?
That whole religious... the profanity. Now, all right, so what is the cure here?
What's the cure? The cure for what?
Yeah, what are you talking about, Phil? The cure for him begging his wife to...
Oh, man.
The cure for these kids coming up to you...
The cure is this. You turn these kids over to me. If they didn't go home at night and face a bunch of parents that are going, oh, poor little boy, he had to go, you know, dig up a grave and all that stuff. You know, they're undermining me. I need parents that'll back me up. I need parents, when the kid comes home and goes... I need a parent that will have the guts. You don't have to do it, but at least have the guts to threaten to, with an open hand, hit their face so hard that almost permanently they can't smile ever again. I'm not saying hurt them, but it almost causes nerve damage, so they frown. You've heard of the Joker? Hey, Phil.
Yeah?
Okay, I'm just asking a question.
Yeah, I've heard of the Joker.
Okay, this would be the opposite. This would be the no sense of humor man.
The no sense of humor man.
Yeah. You slap a kid hard enough and his face just drops into a permanent frown, and you can call him No Laughs. You know, hey, No Laughs is attacking. Batman, it's No Laughs.
There he is, Vernon Dozier.
That sounds like cracking up.
Yeah, I think he is, and we probably get Dr. Jim Sadler. He doesn't want to talk to anybody.
Well, but, you know, I don't like the violence. I don't like the throwing of the candy dish any more than I like her taking the serving tray and almost opening up a hole in his head. But the most disturbing aspect to all of that was begging the way he did.
Yeah, that was his wife doing an impression of it.
Play that back, Bud, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, go re-racking the Mandy,
Dozier.
Yeah. Rolling.
Oh, please, suck the dick. Gotta have a spot. Please.
And there you go.
Well, she, you know what? She sounds as kooky as him.
Whatever's happening there in that house... It ain't pretty, folks. It just ain't pretty. All right, coming back. Jay Sanders was at the Improv with us the other night, and they also Tom Catton made an appearance. And Tom Catton, He's going to tell us about his experience, Tom Catton's health wagon.
Yeah, that guy.
You're not excited?
No, Phil, we're not excited about Tom Catton's health wagon. He's got a new advertising slogan that we think, talk about disturbed.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
To the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Yeah! I'm just trying to keep my
head above it. Damn. Steve Wishbone's is the place. Steve Wishbone. I repair cars. I repair Jeeps. I repair tractors. I repair skateboards. I repair bicycles. I repair washing machines. I repair refrigerators. I repair hair dryers. I repair hair blowers. Steve Wishbone. He's been repairing things for a long time. His father taught him the craft. Stuff got broken, they'd bring it to Steve. And now, Steve has decided to actually earn money repairing things. Before, he was doing it for free. People would pat him on the head and say, "You're such a nice guy, Steve," and then go off and talk about him like he was nothing but chump change. Steve Wishbone now understands that he can make money, big dollars, repairing stuff that people break, and stuff that's broken even as they buy it. Stuff that breaks in the store before they buy it, and stuff that breaks, you know what I'm saying.
No?
Steve Wishbone repairs things. Steve Wishbone, he fixes stuff.
Steve Wishbone, 14 Tribune Street in downtown Rome.
Hi, this is Coach Vernon Dozier. Have you ever heard yourself say this to your wife and you couldn't even believe it was coming out of your mouth?
Oh, please suck my dick.
If you have that problem, send away for Vernon Dozier's Ways to Butch Up. 16. Please send away for Vernon Dozier's 16 Ways to Butch Up. These are ways that will help you, help me, and help thousands and thousands of other men face themselves in the morning, look themselves in the mirror, and say, "I know life is tough, but for God's sake, I got to stop squirting the tears and getting all insecure about whether I'm going to have it sucked or not." Vernon Dozier's 16 different ways to butch up. You'll be glad you did.
Get Vernon Dozier's 16 ways to butch up by sending away to Vernon Dozier's 16 ways to butch up, Route 6, Countenance, Nebraska. That's Vernon Dozier's 16 ways to butch up, Route 5, Trescott, Iowa.
You'll be glad you did. Or at least you'll be glad you tried it. And once you get it and you're not glad anymore, you'll be glad you at least tried it.
Oh, please,
Douglas. Mandy, would you shut your mouth?
No.
Okay. Looks like I'm getting a serving tray.
Remember to get your backstage pass so you can enjoy the live streaming Phil Henry Show every Sunday night. I said streaming, not steaming. Shit.
The world famous Phil Henry Show, live streaming every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific time at philhenryshow.com. Will you still be
there? What the hell? Look at these bands that are screaming their guts loose. Yeah, that's Beartooth, man. They're from, I think Beartooth's from Columbus, Ohio. And that's a song called, what do you think that song's called? Dog Stuff.
Dog Stuff.
All right, I'll say dog shit. No, it's called Aggressive. There it is. It's from the album Aggressive, Beartooth. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com on the FM side of things, the FM side, on the internet side of things, on the digital side of things.
Now, you addressed a broadcasting class recently, didn't you?
Yes, it was a broadcast class out here at Ventura College, and they were asking me about, you know, how come you're not in radio? And I said, I'm not in radio anymore because that's working for someone. I do a digital show now because it worked for myself. And they said, well, is the money comparable? I said, well, frankly, it's been better. They asked me about how do you get people to hear it? And I said, well, there's a lot of different platforms that people use now to listen to podcasts and listen to streaming radio. And I've got TuneIn. The radio I listen to now is all over the world.
Well, you're always listening to some weird stuff. Like, what was the thing you were listening to the other day?
You were listening to a radio station from Jamaica.
What's weird about that?
Well, what are you talking? It's like you listen to foreign language.
Jamaica, they speak English.
Well, I know they speak English, but I don't get it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you listen to American? Yeah, I listen to American stuff. I've been listening to be honest with you, I've been listening to KPFK recently. I've been listening to
that left-wing station.
Wait, you're listening to the lefties now.
Now, that is interesting.
No, just because I've got to change, I need the change of pace, you know. But anyway, to make a long story short, yeah, they were asking me about the digital platform. I think it's the future. There's no question in my mind that that media is heading this way. This is, it's like everybody has the opportunity to create audio entertainment. Everyone has the opportunity to make a movie now. All of the tools that used to be reserved for just a few people when it came to broadcasting, movie making, or any of that kind of stuff, it's now available to everybody. Now, there's still only going to be one or two Picassos or Rembrandts or what have you, but at least everyone has, you know, the opportunity to sit down at the canvas and paint a picture.
Well, what does that mean?
If you say that one more time, bud, you know what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
he's doing it on purpose. You know exactly what it means.
I know.
Hey, what he's talking about here is when you say everyone has the canvas, but there's only one Rembrandt, I don't get that. Well, okay, yes, I do, but what do you mean everyone has a canvas?
Anybody can go to the store.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of times these guys are just trying to screw with you. That's what I've been trying to tell you.
I just want to make sure you believe what you're saying.
Yes, I believe what I'm saying. All right.
All right, Phil. God damn.
Yeah, man. What's wrong, Sammy?
Nothing. You guys are asking me the dumbest questions I've ever heard of my life, man. Everybody has the opportunity. Look, the only thing... Never mind.
Thank you.
World-famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Let's bring on now Jay Santos, who is on stage at the... and we'll also have Tom Catton there as well. But Tom and Jay both were on stage with us at the Improv. Jay is up first here from the South Bay at Hawthorne, California. Jay, how are you doing?
I'm good, Mr. Henry.
And how did you like being with us there at the Improv?
Well, that was very interesting. But the problem with the nightclub crowd, and we encounter this any time we're doing nightclubs security, and we do quite a bit of that, is that they are fun-loving, and they're free and fun, and they're, you know, they're full of freedom, and they're full of the joy of the evening. And I certainly don't want to rain on anyone's parade or anything like that. But we do have to get things done, and we got to get it done quick. Well, I got up on stage, and I started to try to point out the different egresses and the places that people could escape to. I'm hearing all this, you know, ha, he, he, he. I'm hearing a lot of tittering. And
what am I hearing?
I'm hearing tittering, you know.
What's that mean?
Hey, what is it with you guys?
Oh, I know what it means.
It means laughing.
Hey, you said a dirty word.
It said tittering.
No, I did not. I mean, I...
Don't worry about it, Jay. You don't have to explain it.
No, I do. I want to. Tittering is laugher. All right. You're thinking of T-I-T, which I will not say the word.
Well, you spelled it out, so you might as well have.
All right. You're thinking of tit.
And will you watch the language, please?
Well, what the? Anyway.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say it.
I'm not saying something about ladies. You know what?
Okay. We've explained it enough. You know what tittering is now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Henry, do you allow...
Yes, sir, is what he said. Oh, man.
You know something? Getting this show going today is almost like it's trying to pick one of those mules that just sits down in a mud pile, and it tries to, you know, when you try to push a mule, have you ever done that?
No.
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 So, getting on stage and telling people how to get out of the club in case of emergency, and they're all going, hee-hee-hee-hee-hee, that's tough. But beyond that, I think we had a good time, and, you know, a few people was laughing at me down there. I could see they was laughing at me, not with me.
Like who?
Well, I don't know their names or anything.
I mean, I didn't see anybody that was laughing at you. I heard people laughing when you said funny stuff.
Well, I have a tendency to swallow my L's, like I just did there. So I was trying to quote a song by, here, I'm going to do it now. I was trying to quote a song by, love it. And I had a hard time.
Jesus Christ, is that you trying to say Lyle Lovett?
Yes, sir, that is. It's me going, oh.
Well, don't do it.
And I did it on stage, and everyone's going, and that's when I said, okay, I'm blowing this pop stand. I went right out the back door.
Jay, I have a question for you.
You heard what I said. I went out the back door.
Yes, I know. I was there. I saw it, okay? And I don't know what to say. Sometimes I feel sorry for you. Sometimes I don't. But I do have a question. I don't want to get any specific stories. But what was your advice to the people in the nightclub there that evening as to panic? You know what I mean?
All right, yeah. Let's not talk about any story, though.
No.
Look.
What was that?
That's just me. I'm saying no.
Panic? I say to people what I always say to people. You're going to be hearing some comedians tonight. You're going to be hearing some people on the stage that you came out to see, and they're not funny. And a natural tendency is to start a panic. Like, oh, God damn, they're not, you know, it's not funny. What happened? And you start to question yourself.
They're not asking about that, man. They're asking about something else.
Well, then I don't know what she means.
Never forget it.
But that's my experience with panic. is when you go out to a music or
yeah, you go out to see music or a comic, and they panic because they thought the guy was going to be funny, and he isn't.
Yeah, and they start to get disoriented and wander around and bump into stuff and go, ah, help me, see? So,
thanks a lot, Jay, for your contribution to the show. We got to get Tom Catton in here.
Oh, Tom, by the way, let me say one thing. Tom Catton has a slogan. You heard about that?
Yeah.
And when he said it to me, I said, I like the grains that you sell and the different wheat grains and the different peanuts and everything. But, boy, that slogan is strictly for hungry.
All right, Jay, we'll get Tom Catton in here in a moment, and we thank you very much for joining us here on the Phil Hendry Show. He's talking about, Tom Catton was on our show for a while doing a segment called, what was the name of that segment, General?
It was called Health Wagon, right?
Well, that's the name of his business, but I guess it's named after the business?
Yeah, the Health Wagon and the Health Wagon Radio Extravaganza is what it is.
Talk about Radio Extravaganza.
That's what he calls it, man.
Well, I don't remember him calling it the Radio Extravaganza. Here is Tom Catton in his car. I think that's a mobile phone. Tom, how are you?
Hey, Phil, good morning, everyone. How are you?
Hello, Tom. And we're talking about your new advertising slogan.
Well, I did get some pushback from our friend there, Mr. Santos. I'm not quite sure why, but the slogan is a handful of grain. Once a day can save a handful of your brain.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, no, not at all.
No, that sounds very like cancer of the brain or something, or a brain tumor.
No, not at all. A handful of brain is simply that much of your brain that you can put in your hand. And Well, a lot of people's brains are about the size. You can put the whole brain in someone's hand. You see? Versus my brain, which I have seen on an X-ray and I've seen on a CAT scan, I have a significantly large brain that if you got a handful of my brain, there'd be lots of brain left, to put it as simply as I can. I was able to look at CAT scans of different patients when I had Health Wagon over at the municipal hospital. And I would go into the area there where they did the X-rays and CAT scans, and I'd see the brains, and that's where I got the idea. A handful of grain can save a handful of your brain. Many of the people that I saw had a brain about what you could fit in one hand. So it was little brains. And a handful of brain means it'll save your brain.
Well, then why not say that?
Because it doesn't sound good. A handful of grain will save your brain? I don't know.
That sounds good. You know,
a handful of grain will save your life, maybe, but it's not true for everyone. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because a handful of grain won't save everyone's...
So how is the health business, anyway?
Well, it's going very well, and we're excited about coming back on your show, if that is in the offing, right?
Samuel, you didn't plan it, did you?
I talked...
But why are people whispering?
No one's whispering. Robert was talking.
What's he saying?
Nothing, Tom. We're going to have you back on the show. We'll have you back on Sundays. I want to alternate you with Ed Elcott.
And how is Ed Elcott doing? I understand that he had a problem there at Wampower. They had him doing cat commercials and things.
Yeah, we want to rotate the show with you and a few other people to try and get the most out of the out of all of the people we have. We have to get Kenny Slagg in here.
Oh, Kenny Slagg. I'm very positive. I love to be positive about things, and so in order to be positive about Kenny Slagg, the only thing I can say is Kenny Slagg exists. That's the only way I can talk about Kenny Slagg without being negative.
There's not one positive thing you can say about him. There's nothing?
No. In fact, I just said something negative. God.
What's the language?
I mean, watch the language. My language is pristine. I've been listening to your show, Phil. I'm the only guy that's been on your show today with a really good attitude.
You have a very good attitude. I was sorry about that, Tom, but we've had so many people firing off four-letter words.
Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm just telling you, the most positive thing I can say about Kenny Slagg is Kenny Slagg, he lives.
And what are you listening to?
Oh, this is that right wing. Take that Nazi off. Take the Nazi off. I'm talking to my son. Take it off. Yes. I got to listen to these right-wing Nazis that my son likes to listen to. It's American White Nationalist Hour. What's the other one you listen to? George Lincoln Rockwell Memorial Hour, yeah.
Who's that guy, George Lincoln Rockwell?
You don't want to know.
All right, so we're talking here with Tom Catton, who's driving with his son. That's why we're hearing the car radio there, and he's listening to a white supremacist show.
I don't know what it is. It's something, not, what is it? Sean Hannity.
All right, so that's not exactly a Nazi.
Oh, okay, whatever you say.
Tom Catton's health wagon, there was a Tom Hatton.
I know, he did squiggles in the Popeye cartoon. I get it already.
Well, you are in a bad mood.
Well, I've been waiting to come on the program to promote the Tom Catton grain, you know, the grain explosion, which is what a handful of grain saves a handful of your brain. We've got the Tom Catton grain explosion. We also have the Tom Catton gift pack of grain. We have the Tom Catton memorial pack of grain. And then we'll send to you, the Tom Catton Christmas bouquet of grains and wheats and cereal packages, things like that. I don't know what to call it.
It's called the Christmas?
The Christmas bouquet of something, you know. We're throwing it together at the last minute. I need something to distract myself from all the bad news that's been happening lately.
How are you dealing with all of it, Tom?
Well, how do I deal with it? I deal with it by simply having grains, doing deep breathing, by...
Now, when you say you're this is dealing with all the bad news...
Yeah, and I won't get into specifics, but it has to do with a guy that just got elected.
Yeah, see? Right there, Phil. Take it easy. He hasn't said anything.
You know, I'm trying to be as neutral as I can. But so I've had to eat a lot of grain. I've had a lot of bowel movements. I'm sorry to say this, Phil, but I've got to get the poison out of me. I've got so much poison in me. I've got so much poison that I've got to get it out of me. And the only way is to eat lots of grains and lots of vegetables and just spend a morning and a half on the toilet. That's the only way.
All right, well, Tom...
I grossed you out, didn't I?
No, you didn't. We got to get going.
God, I grossed you out.
No, we got to get going, Tom. Thank you very much for your health wagon, advice.
Yeah, I fucked up a...
Tom... My God, he is Vernon, Tom, you know what it is? It's Christmas.
Yeah, that's it, Mr. Ernie, because of Christmas time.
Maybe right.
No, maybe. It is. That's what's happening to everyone. Everyone's flipping out because it is Christmas, and they're going off the deep end with this.
All right, well, tell you what. I don't want to add any stress to anybody's day. Tom, Vernon, Jay, all the guys were on today. If we stressed you out, man, we're sorry. Vernon, I hope you're okay. Tom, I hope you're okay. And if you don't come back and, you know, if you don't want to be back on the show...
Yeah, but at the same time, they want to be on the show.
Well, these guys, they pine away to be on the show, then they get on the show, and they're stressed out. And, I don't know. Just they're all of a sudden they're doing, you know, oh, please suck my you-know-what.
Oh, God, I can't believe... I think that's...
You're not buying it.
No, I'm not buying that at all. I think that was some comedy bit that Vernon worked up with his wife, Mandy. Very funny.
Famous Phil Henry Show for the Al Pacifico in Southern California is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, All Rights Reserved, Podcast One.
I barely understood anything you said.
Thank you. Thank you very much.